KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, we're going to learn about squid with Skype scientist Dr. Sarah McAnulty. We'll find out about other cephalopods too, like octopus, cuttlefish, and nautilus. Squid are ubiquitous, found in all oceans on planet Earth at all depths. You can learn a lot more with our learn-along guide for this episode, which meets and cites national education standards. Find it in the squid episode at childrenshour.org. This episode is mixed with great music. Learn about squid with us today on the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a New Mexico-based nonprofit organization dedicated to giving kids opportunities to create radio. You can learn a lot more about us at childrenshour.org.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Talk Radio.
How many tickles does it take to make a squid laugh?
I don't know how many.
That would be 10 tickles.
Oh. It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden, in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden, in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden, in the shade. We would be warm below the storm, in our little hideaway beneath the waves, resting our head on the seabed, in an octopus's garden near a cave. We would sing and dance around, because we know we can't be found. I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden, in the shade. We would shout and swim about the coral that lies beneath the waves. Oh, what joy for every girl and boy, knowing they're happy and they're safe. We would be so happy, you and me, no one there to tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
That was Casper Baby Pants opening up the Children's Hour today with their version of Octopus's Garden. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone here at the Outpost Performance Space and on Zoom with a lot of great people. Who's here today?
Hi, it's Max.
Hello, it's Luminata.
Hi, it's Lily Mae.
Hi, it's Nina.
Hi, it's Beth.
Hello, this is Cade.
Hi, it's Evan.
Hi, my name's Thorfinn.
Hi, it's Xavier.
Hi, it's Amaya.
Well, thank you all for being here out there in listener land here at the Outpost and on Zoom. Today on the show, we're going to learn about cephalopods, which are a group of creatures that have been around since before our planet even had trees. We're going to learn specifically about squid, which are ubiquitous in our oceans today. Ubiquitous is a word that means there's a lot of them and they're found everywhere. They're from a big family that includes octopuses, and our guest expert is a science educator who loves to teach about these color-changing, tentacled ocean residents. You can stay tuned and meet Sarah McAnulty from Skype a Scientist and learn about squid with us today on the Children's Hour. We have a learn-along guide that we've written for this episode, and it meets and cites national education standards. You can find it at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode called Squid. There you'll also find lots of photos and other info and links. Stick with us for the Children's Hour. This is the Whiz Pops.
Well, I'm an octopus with eight arms on my body, which would come in handy if I practice karate. But I don't practice karate because I'm an invertebrate. I'm spineless, but I've got ink, and I don't mind squirting it, yeah.
I just ate some scallops, and now I want to eat more. When I eat, I use my beak and fill them up with my saliva. I suck them down, each one abound, it helps me stay alive.
I'm an octopus, and I'm a funky cephalopod. If I lose an arm, I'll grow it back right where it was on my body. My pigment cells are there to change my skin with camouflage. But more a eel comes, I'm elusive as a mirage, yeah.
Swimming through the sea.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, and our guest today is an American biologist. She's a science communicator. She studies squids and cephalopods and is an expert. She's also the founder of an organization called Skype a Scientist. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Dr. Sarah McAnulty.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so glad you're here because really none of us know enough about squids. And I'm going to ask you the first question. Is it squid or squids?
Excellent question. So if you have a lot of one type of squid, that's going to be squid. That's like you've got a big group of all of the same species. Now, let's say you have a bunch of different types of squid. You've got big squid and little squid. You've got red squid and green squid. Those are squids. It's a lot like the same structure as people and peoples and fish and fishes. Lots of one type of fish, it's still fish. Lots of different fishes, it's fishes.
I understand now. Well, you're going to teach us about squids, multiple different kinds, as well as squid. And we have a lot to learn from you, being that we're from the desert and we don't see too many squids around here of any kind. Let's start with Evan.
How many tentacles do squids have?
Ooh, good question. This is something that really folks get confused about. So squid, they have 10 limbs total. Of those limbs, 8 of them are arms. Arms are pretty muscular. They're a little stretchy, but they're not super duper stretchy. And then in the center of those 8 arms, they have 2 tentacles. The difference between tentacles and arms is that tentacles are really, really rubbery. They can shoot out, grab prey, which is like their food, and then bring it back to their beak where they munch and they eat it. So 2 tentacles, 8 arms.
Wow. What makes a squid and not a fish?
Okay, so fish have skeletons, they have backbones, they have jaws, and squid have almost none of that. They don't have any bones inside of them at all. Some of them have a inside structure that's kind of like a shell, like a seashell, but inside their body called a pen, but not all squid even have those anymore. Some of them have lost them over evolutionary time. So way, way, way back, the like great, 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 great grandmother of the squid had a shell on the outside of their body. They kind of look like a traffic cone. And then over time, they brought them inside and they have a little shell. So no bones. That's part of it. And instead of jaws, like many fish have, they have a beak.
A beak? Did you just say
a beak?
A beak like a bird?
It looks just like a parrot beak. Yeah. So they're usually brown. And those beaks are very, very sharp. They have a very little bit of venom in those beaks. But the venom doesn't hurt people with the exception of one octopus. It mostly affects like crabs and shrimp and the things that they eat. They have like, it looks just like a bird beak. It's unbelievable.
How many types of squid are there?
Ooh, there are about 300 different types of squid, and they're all like very different from each other. Some squid, so the smallest squid is about the size of my pinky fingernail. Those are the pygmy squid. They live in like around Australia and sort of like the Pacific Ocean around there. And then the biggest squid is the colossal squid. They're about the length of a big yellow school bus. And then there are some squid that live in super shallow water, like ankle depth water. And then some that live like 3 miles below the surface of the ocean. So there are about 300 types of squid and they are incredibly diverse.
My guess is you haven't even found all the different types of squid there could be.
Totally. We're learning about new squid all the time.
What do squid eat?
So it totally depends on the type of squid we're talking about, because like I said, squid are so different from each other. So that also means that they generally eat different things. So the little squid can eat like itsy bitsy little shrimp, like zooplankton, we call them. So the itsy bitsy squid eat itsy bitsy little crustaceans, we call them. So that includes crabs and shrimp and that kind of thing. Big squid, like the colossal squid, eat what's called Antarctic toothfish and other fish that are pretty big. Big squid eat big fish.
We're talking with squid experts, Dr. Sarah McInulty, and she is also the founder of Skype, a scientist. We're going to learn more about that in just a minute, and we're going to keep learning about squid. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Today's show comes with a learn-along guide. You can find it at childrenshour.org/squid, or just look for this episode, Squid. We'll be right back with a lot more.
Sid the Squid.
Sid the Squid.
Sid the Squid.
I'm Sid the Squid, and I like to impress. Even in the dark, you can see how I dress. With neon green and pulsing pink, blue, silver, and red, my shiny lights blink. Some squids are tiny, they'll fit in your hand. Some squids are giant, much bigger than man. I'm a cephalopod, and I move so fast. In a cloud of ink, I'll slip right past.
She shines. whale squid.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a nonprofit based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can learn more about us and support our work at childrenshour.org. Electric Playhouse supports the Children's Hour, now open in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com. The New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Experience the magic of New Mexico's many cultural traditions at museums and historic sites statewide. More at nmculture.org/traditions.
We're the squid of Pemaquid. We're permanently cute. We've got so many tentacles, we don't know what to do. But if we had some boots, then we'd be fancy as could be. Just like all the fishermen that sail upon the sea.
So if you are a sailor, better lace your boots up tight. And watch out for the tentacles that reach out in the night. Cause we're the squid of Pemaquid, and this is what we do. We tickle all the fishermen and try to steal their shoes. We're the squid of Pemaquid, we're permanently cute. We lie beneath the ocean and dream of fancy boots. Cause we're the squid of Pemaquid, and that's just what we do. We'd all be fancy gentlemen if only we had shoes.
That was James Kochalka, Superstar, right here on the Children's Hour. Over the break, you heard the Little Apple Band with Squid Was 11, and Baby Butterfly Bobtail Squid is Claudia Robin Gunn with her Sing for the Sea, Little Wild Ocean Friends. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Our guest is Dr. Sarah McAnulty. She is a cephalopod expert. That's somebody who knows everything. Oh, so much about squid and squids. There are a lot of photos that you can find at childrenshour.org under this episode, Squids, including a learn-along guide. Let's go to Illy.
Where do squid live? Squid live anywhere pretty much that is marine. So that means in the ocean. No squid live in freshwater. So you're not going to find squid in a lake or a river or a stream or a creek. You're only going to find them in oceans and bays, that sort of thing. There are so many different types of squid, and squid live in so many different habitats and have so many different adaptations that they can kind of go wherever. They're really, really good. And they've been around for an incredibly long time. There have been cephalopods. So cephalopods are the group that contains squid, octopus, cuttlefish, and then this weirdo called the nautilus that still lives in a shell. They've been around for longer than we've had trees on Earth. So they've had a really, really long time to take up space within the ocean and get different from each other over evolutionary time.
Are you talking like 500 million years ago?
500 million years ago. So squid, very, very old.
So they've been around since then. Have they changed very much? Because you talked about a nautilus, and I think as I look at a picture of a nautilus, I see those as fossils too. So that must be a very successful type of organism.
Totally. So cephalopods, when they first arose, this was again like 500 million years ago, they kind of looked like a traffic cone with a face sticking out the bottom. They didn't look like the squid that we have today at all. And cephalopods didn't lose their shell until much, much later. So there were like hundreds of millions of years where animals that were closely related to squid, instead of looking like the little torpedoes we have today, looked pretty similar to that, but with a shell on the outside, with a little face sticking out. And then over time, those shells kind of got brought indoors. So kind of like our skeletons, but for them, it's a shell. But they still have these like really big, heavy shells inside of their bodies. And then over time, those got smaller and smaller and smaller, just like our ancestors had tails, and we don't have tails anymore, but we have that little like tailbone. So there's this like little whisper of our evolutionary history. And it's the same thing with squid. They have like a little whisper, like the tailbone version of a big shell.
Mm.
How do squids make ink?
Squid house a bunch of pigments. So that's like the black stuff within the ink in something called an ink sac. So it just looks like a little bag that they fill to the brim with melanin, which is very similar to the brown in my freckles and the brown in all sorts of human skin. So they store it in there. And then when they're ready to shoot some ink out, they basically just like shoot it out their siphon. There's like a little tube that connects the bag of ink to right under their faces. So like if I'm a squid and my arms are right in front of my face, there's like a little siphon funnel right under my face and they just shoot it right out that hole.
Why do they do that?
Squid can make ink for a lot of different reasons. So the main one is to confuse predators and get away. And there's two main ways they do that. They can kind of make like a smoke bomb, like a big, big, big ink cloud so that nobody can see anything and they can get away. The other approach is called a pseudomorph. Pseudo means fake, morph means body kind of. So they will mix mucus, so like snot, into the ink and then they shoot out a blob. So instead of the ink dissipating everywhere, it stays together in a little clump. And that way they can plop out a blob that's about the same size and shape as them so that if like a barracuda is chasing them, instead of having one little squid to chase, suddenly they have like 8 squid to choose between, but only one of them is a squid. The rest are just ink blobs.
Wow.
How intelligent are squids?
Oh, what a good question. And it's something that scientists struggle with all the time because comparing animal intelligence is really, really hard to do. We get the sense that squid probably are smarter than a clam or a mussel or, maybe a crab because they engage in these relatively complex social behaviors like talking to each other and working together on something sometimes, living together, certainly. But it's really hard to like rank, like this is the most smart animal. This is the next most smart animal. It's like amorphous, tough to nail down. But generally speaking, yeah, squid we think are reasonably smart.
We've heard stories about things like squid finding their way out of a lab through a drain and back to the ocean. Is that a rare thing? That seems pretty brilliant.
Yeah. So the octopuses are more commonly escaping. And that's because octopuses are generally squishier than squid are. So squid and cuttlefish in particular, have like a pretty big internal shell. It's basically the same size as their back. So they can't fit through tiny little holes. They're stuck where they are. Squid are just generally less wishable because of the way that their muscles kind of are, and also because of that internal shell, the pen, we call it. And so they can't squeeze through stuff as easily.
We're talking with Dr. Sarah McAnulty. She is a squid biologist. She's also the founder of Skype a Scientist. You're listening to the Children's Hour recorded at the Outpost Performance Space and on Zoom. We're here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This next band is from New Zealand. It's the Itty Bitty Beats, right here on the Children's Hour.
Splashy, splashy,
Ollie,
Winky Winky.
Ollie is an octopus. He likes to row a boat. He paddles with eight oars at once just to stay afloat. Ollie, the octopus.
Splishy, splashy.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. Today on the show, we're learning about squid and a bit about cephalopods in general. And for you to learn even more, you can print out our Learn Along guide for this episode. Follow along with the show, get a lot more information and a lot more context. Our Learn Along guides are fun for all ages, and they meet educational standards and allow the Children's Hour to be used inside the classroom. Look for this episode, Squids, at childrenshour.org and tell a teacher. We're at the Outpost Performance Space and on Zoom with Skype a scientist, Dr. Sarah McAnulty. Dr. McAnulty, I have to ask you about eating squid because, for one thing, humans love their calamari. Is that squid? Are we eating the tentacles? What are we eating there?
Calamari is a mix of the arms and the mantle. So the mantle is like their torso. And so, yeah, it's both. If it's like the rings, then that is their torso, basically. Yeah, their mantle.
It's pretty delicious, but is it a sustainable type of food to eat?
Generally, compared to most fish, yes. But whenever we're talking about seafood, it's so complicated and it depends on so many different things. So what I generally suggest is like just listening to whatever the heck the Monterey Bay Aquarium has to say about it. They have a little guide that you can check out because there are going to be populations, some places, like particularly of cuttlefish and octopus, where it's going to be less sustainable, and then other places where it's like totally fine. But as the ocean gets warmer, that is likely to change. And so I wouldn't say forever and ever squid are going to be a sustainable seafood, but right now they're a better choice than, say, a tuna.
What about climate change in squid? What have you seen?
Ooh. So if the year was 2016, I would be telling you that squid are doing great. Cephalopods are doing wonderful. They're seeming to do better lately. But we're realizing that as waters get warmer and warmer, the areas that they can be happy in are shrinking. So every squid and cuttlefish and octopus species has a range of temperatures that they're happy at. And as the oceans get warmer, the areas that they're happy in shrink and shrink and shrink. And so that's the biggest threat right now to squid is just things getting hotter. Certainly the whole ecosystem collapsing is also part of that. And some squid may just move. They might just go north or find another place to live and be totally fine. But there are so many different types of squid and so many different places they live that hopefully some of them survive, but we're probably going to lose some species, just like we're losing every other type of animal, at least some of the species, because of climate change.
So sad.
What is it about squid you find the most fascinating?
I think the like color change to communicate, and also that they're like quite social, but they've developed that social kind of behavior completely independently of us. Because when like we split from them on like the tree of life, it was a long, long time ago, like over 600 million years ago. And so you can kind of look at an animal and see how it does things similar to us. And then also doing similar things like totally differently from us. And that's really fun. It's like just seeing how another path could have gone for evolution.
Sometimes old-timey books show pictures of a giant squid grabbing a ship and taking it down to the bottom of the ocean.
Uh-huh.
That's not real, is it?
So the big octopus, like we don't know of any big octopuses that can take down a ship. for sure. But there are pretty big squid. And could they take down one of these like huge sailing ships that like cross the Atlantic? No, they're not big enough for that. But we think that the source of a lot of those mythologies are giant squid, because when giant squid are feeling sick, when they're approaching death, their ability to stay where they want to be in the water, what's called their buoyancy, gets all out of whack. And so they end up floating to the surface of the seawater kind of by accident because they're sick. And so when you have like a dying, disoriented giant squid and you're in a small boat and you encounter one, that's pretty scary because they are really big compared to a small boat and certainly compared to humans. And then we end up with pictures in books of the Kraken.
Oh, yes. And that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
All right. This is a random question that me and my friend argued about. Could a squid survive in space?
Oh, yeah. We've sent squid to space, actually. Yes. So could a squid survive in space? Yes. Squid were sent to space specifically to understand how bacteria establish relationships with animals broadly. And so squid are a model for understanding that. And we sent them to space to see how they would form a partnership with bacteria in weirdo gravity, what we call microgravity, which is what animals experience in space. And if we were to ever, as humans, live in space for multiple generations, we would need to know how this works. Because if we want to have children in space, we need to make sure that their bacteria is healthy, because bacteria keep our bodies healthy. And so that was why we sent them to space. And they certainly survived for part of that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Squids in space. That's hard to believe. You've been hearing Dr. Sarah McAnulty. She is a squid biologist and also the founder of Skype a Scientist. Sarah, will you talk a little bit about Skype a Scientist? What is it?
Yeah, Skype a Scientist is a program that aims to connect people directly with the source of information via scientists. We will match any classroom, scout troop, library, group of friends, a book club, whatever. If you're a group, we will match you with a scientist of your interest. So if you really like spiders, we'll match you with a spider scientist. If you really like space, we'll match you with an astrophysicist or something like that. So you can sign up totally for free at skypeascientist.com. These are all about Q&As, because we want to start conversations between scientists and everybody else. So we want to make that as easy as possible for folks to do. We also run live streams where you can tune in, ask your questions of a scientist live if you don't want to set up your own group. Skypeascientist.com, free connections for Q&As with scientists.
That's so cool. Dr. Sarah McAnulty, we've learned so much from you today on the Children's Hour, much more than anyone knew about squids around the world. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
One, two, three. Squid-a-da-da-doo-da-doo-da-day. My old friend King Squid grabbed a donut in here. Yes, indeed, that's what he did. My old friend King Squid, squid-a-da-da-doo-da-day. My old friend King Squid opened the cookie jar lid, grabbed the donut in here. Yes, indeed, that's what he did. My old friend King Squid, squid-a-da-da-doo-da-day, squid-a-da-da-doo-da-day. My old friend King Squid,
yeah,
tickled the neighbor kid.
I know.
Opened the cookie jar lid, grabbed the donut in here.
That's right.
Yes, indeed, that's what he did. My old friend King Squid, squid-a-da-da-doo-da-day, squid-a-da-da-doo-da-day, squid-a-da-da-doo-da-day.
Listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the New Mexico Children's Foundation. You can keep up with the Children's Hour by signing up for our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.
I like all of the podcasts because they help me learn a lot. I'm Brooklyn Elder from Albuquerque.
Find hundreds of educational podcasts at childrenshour.org or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Look for The Children's Hour.
Head and feet, feet and head. These are the body parts of the squid. Mantle and feet, mantle and head. These are the body parts of the squid. Head and feet, feet and head. These are the body parts of the squid. Mantle and feet, mantle and head. These are the body parts of the squid. First you clean it and skin it and pound it and slice it and all of your kids say
ew.
Then you bread it and fry it in garlic and butter just like Grandma used to do. And you tell everyone that it's calamari and that sounds ever so fine. Till they learn a squid has come to the party and they refuse to dine. On head and feet, feet and head, these are the body parts of the squid. Mantle and feet, mantle and head, these are the body parts of the squid. Head and feet, feet and head, these are the body parts of the squid. Mantle and feet, mantle and head, these are the body parts of the squid. It's calamari, it's calamari. No longer a squid, it's calamari. Just like the pasta becomes spaghetti, now the squid, she is calamari. So serve the pasta, serve the bread, serve the salad, and serve the squid. Heads and feet are part of the deal. Heads and feet make a very good meal. You say try it, you will like it, and they find it hard to believe. So they do, and they did love the body parts of the squid. Mangia pasta, mangia pane, mangia tutti calamari. Calamari, calamari, mangia tons of calamari. First you clean it and skin it and pound it and slice it and all of your kids say
ew.
Then you bread it and fry it in garlic and butter just like Grandma used to do. And you tell everyone that it's calamari and that sounds ever so fine. Till they learn a squid has come to the party and they refuse to dine. On head and feet, feet and head, these are the body parts of the squid. Mantle and feet, mantle and head, these are the body parts of the squid. Head and feet, feet and head, these are the body parts of the squid. Mantle and feet, mantle and head, these are the body parts of the squid.
That was Nancy Stewart from Sing a Song of Science. And before the break, you heard Fred with King Squid from Ukulele Awesome Sauce. Over the break, Broke for Free brought us Feel Good. Squid are amazing. They're essentially mollusks without protective shells, and they're like the psychedelic acrobats of the ocean, with the ability to rapidly change colors to match the seas around them. They squirt ink to hide and fool their predators. These invertebrates are the fastest swimmers in the ocean, and the colossal squid is the largest. Their eyes are as big as footballs and can display bioluminescence. Imagine that looking at you in your submarine. Several species of squid can be self-luminous. Scientists estimate that 75% of open ocean squid are bioluminescent. Bioluminescence is caused by an internal biochemical reaction in the squid's light organs, which can be found on the eyelid, eyeball, tentacles, and other surfaces of their bodies. There are more than 300 species of squid found in all depths of the ocean everywhere on Earth. You can learn a lot more about squid in our learn-along guide for this episode. Find it at childrenshour.org. Look for squid. This is Marcia and the Positrons, right here on the Children's Hour.
here.
Begin to the butt.
Bagels. The olives.
It's a bone.
Bone.
They've got no bones. They're invertebrates. No spinal columns. It's true. They have no bones. Have no bones. And though they may be fast when they swim under the sea, on land, they can't stop like you and me. And on land, they can't shake like
something too.
Bones.
Right, it's bones. Want to sing about it? Let's sing.
Bones. Marinara sauce,
hold the bones.
Hold the bones. hold the rest of the octopus too.
Squid, squid with your tentacle face. 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 You're red and yellow and pink and green, orange and purple and blue. You're all the colors of a rainbow, squid, and I wish I was a rainbow too. Squid's got a beak like a bug. Squid, squid's got a beak like a bug. Squid, squid's got a beak like a bug. Squid, squid's got a beak like a bug.
Squid swims down.
Squiddy squid swims up. Squiddy squid swims down. Squiddy squid swims up. Squiddy squid swims down. Squiddy squid swims up. Squiddy squid swims down.
Rainbow squid, and I wish I.
all the colors of a rainbow squid, and I wish I was a rainbow too. Red and yellow and pink and green, orange and purple and blue. You're all the colors of a rainbow squid, and I wish I was a rainbow too. Red and yellow and pink and green, orange and purple and blue. You're all the colors of a rainbow squid, and I wish I was a rainbow too. Red and yellow and pink and green, orange and purple and blue. You're all the colors of a rainbow squid, and I wish I was a rainbow too. I wish I was a rainbow too. I wish I was a rainbow too. I wish I was a rainbow too.
That was Poco Drum right here on the Children's Hour with Rainbow Squid. In the background, Poddington Bear. We're learning about squid today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I'm Katie Stone. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a message on our SpeakPipe audio. You can find it at our contact page at childrenshour.org. Learn more with us by finding that Learn Along Guide and tell a teacher. It meets and cites educational standards, and it makes learning about biology a lot of fun. This is Perry Grip, right here on the Children's Hour.
Happy squid lives beneath the sea, dreaming fancy dreams for you and me. Far below
across the ocean, on the other side of the world, Admiral Raisin Toast lifts his fist to the sky and proclaims,
"Avast ye, happy squid! I'll find ye one day! I'll find ye!"
Got time for just one more on the Children's Hour. This is Michael and the Rock Ness Monsters. We'll catch you next time.
If I were an octopus, I'd like to dance. And I'd wear an eight-legged pair of purple pants. I'd dance on the sand, I'd with my mother, my father, my son, and my daughter. I'd dance. If I were an octopus,
if I were an octopus, if I
and squishy. Rock and roll octopus band. I'd dance, oh, if I were an octopus. Oh yeah, if I were an octopus. If I were an octopus. If we were octopi.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Thanks to Dr. Sarah McAnulty from Skype a Scientist for being with us today. We had production help from Gus Tafoya and Daniel Lentz. Our learning guide was written by Lorraine Archibald, and our show was recorded at Outpost by Chad Shear.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour,
or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Wapman, Wapman.